Given the English class system, Captain James Cook was an unlikely candidate for exploring the third of the globe that you could not find on any 18th century map. The son of a rural day laborer, he taught himself astronomy and navigation. He was a 40-year-old naval officer when the British Admiralty asked him to lead his first voyage to the South Pacific in 1768. Maps from his expeditions were so accurate that they were still being used in the 1990s. Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Tony Horwitz traveled some of Captain Cook's routes to write his latest book, Blue Latitudes.
I became hooked on Cook accidentally when I fell in love with an Australian and followed her to Sydney. And one day at an old bookshop, I found a copy of Cook's journals and was just immediately swept away with this tale of fantastic adventure and encounters with cannibals and orgies in Tahiti and icebergs and shipwrecks. This wasn't the story that I learned in fifth grade geography class. And I just decided I wanted to look into it further and also have my own adventures traveling in Cook's wake.
The first voyage was 1768 to 1771 around Cape Horn, around South America, across the Pacific to Tahiti, New Zealand, Australia.
And a few other points in between, Bora Bora, and then on to Indonesia and home.
A circumnavigation.
Exactly.
Yeah. And he had a fellow named Joseph Banks with him.
Joseph Banks is a wonderful counterpoint to James Cook. Banks is, at 25, already one of the wealthiest men of his day. He's a landed gentleman, and he's a dilettante botanist. So he pays the equivalent today of about $1 million to come along with Cook on this expedition. He writes about native dance. He collects native words and songs. He tells us in his journals about trying to seduce Tahitian women. He gives us the human dimension to the story.
Didn't have to try too hard to seduce Tahitian women.
No, this was a pretty libertine society when the first Europeans arrived. There was no metal in Tahiti, and Tahitians immediately saw the value of this ship filled with this precious substance. So the going rate for a woman's company was a single nail. As a result, sailors began pulling out every nail they could find on their ships to the point where they almost sank, and the sailors were all sleeping on the deck because they'd taken out the nails holding up their hammocks.
The second voyage, 1772 to 1778, was another circumnavigation, but from the other direction.
Yes. On his second voyage, Cook went more explicitly to see if he could find this southern continent, this fabled land of plenty. And he ended up sailing all the way around Antarctica. He never touched land. He was blocked by ice every time he got close. But he basically dispelled the myth that there was this wondrous place that people had dreamed about for centuries. And in that sense, one of Cook's greatest legacies is negative discovery. He found what's not there.
We have made this book sound like a deadly serious history, and it's not. There is a lot of fun in here as you're going through Cook's travels. You met the king of Tonga.
These people are very big, beginning with their king, who was once listed in the Guinness Book of World Records as the largest monarch on Earth at over 400 pounds. He holds the pole vault record in Tonga, which is quite surprising given his size.
400 pounds? He's a pole vaulter?
I don't think he was quite that big when he set the record. That's Tonga.
The third voyage was 1776 to 1780, and on this third voyage, it was his last, he found Hawaii.
Yeah, he, as far as we know, was the first European to reach what he called the Sandwich Islands. And Cook is greeted initially in Hawaii as a god. They think he's the incarnation of Lono, a potent fertility god who returns each year to seed the fields with winter rain. But things gradually go sour.
Because?
Well, there are a number of things go wrong for Cook, one being that he simply overstayed his visit. He had two ships at that point, and his men stuffed themselves and took up with native women, stole idols from the temple on shore. I think the Hawaiians were a bit sick of them by the time they left. And then when Cook leaves, a storm blows over his mast so that he's forced to return. And at this point, the Hawaiians become bellicose and begin harassing the sailors and stealing from them. And Cook provokes a skirmish on the beach that ends with his own death.
Do they remember him well?
In most places, they do remember Cook, usually not very fondly. Right. Hawaiians hate Cook perhaps more than anyone in the Pacific because they feel he opened the door to the destruction of their culture. And they're very angry people today. And he's become a convenient symbol of everything that's gone wrong since his arrival.
Cook gets the blame because he was first, but if it hadn't been him, it would have been somebody else.
Yeah, I feel Cook gets a bum rap in this respect. One, I think he couldn't know what was going to happen in his wake. His voyages occurred on the cusp of the Industrial Revolution and also at a time when Britain was losing his American colonies. So that in the wake of Cook's voyages, his discoveries become a launching pad for the creation of a British Empire in the Pacific. There's a curious twist, though. In almost all the lands I visited, Cook is actually being rediscovered in a more positive light by some native peoples because his writing and that of his crew and their artwork and the artifacts they collected give us the best snapshot we have today of what life was like in the Pacific at the moment of European contact. To me, what's astonishing about Cook's story is that a third of the globe was essentially blank when he set off for the Pacific, and he sails into this void in a small wooden ship with 100 men and comes back with tales and pictures and maps of lands and peoples and plants and even animals that are just completely unknown to Europe. And this is an experience we simply can't have today. No matter how far we travel. Today, when people travel the world, they tend to talk about it in terms of self-discovery. For Cook, it was just discovery.
Tony Horwitz, his new book is Blue Latitudes, Boldly Going Where Captain Cook Has Gone Before.